Chapter 11 The Winding Caverns.
Are you all right?
Hmm?
You've fallen silent. I was asking if you are all right.
Huh, Udo muttered. He thought for a moment, then, I didn't really have any more to say.
Had no more to say or had no desire to say more?
Either. Both.
Do you still feel the pull?
No. It's gone now.
Geffen nodded. He was walking ahead of Udo, and the latter saw the gesture only as a dip of his friend's head.
That is good.
Udo waited for him to say more, but he didn't.
Yeah?
I'm sorry. The Watcher has gone away, I believe. It has various mechanisms to see, or I suppose I should say to search, but these caverns plunge too deep for it to follow us. The materials which comprise the rock confound its sight, and the network is always changing.
Network? What do you mean? These caves?
Yes.
The caves are always changing, Geffen? The solid rock around us?
Oh, well, it's not all as solid as you might think. But yes, always changing. Always there are new paths being carved. And Lelwani does not have the map for this little labyrinth.
But why would they be changing? What are you not telling me?
Geffen stopped and gestured to the right down an adjoining tunnel. Even with the marvelous vision granted by the skin, Udo's sight only penetrated their immediate area, illuminating them quite nicely while at the same time hiding their surroundings in shadow. Geffen led them down this new avenue with no hesitation. He seemed to be moving faster.
If there are things I'm not telling you, it is because there is too much to tell, not enough time, and the information is not critical to our task. For now, it is enough to know that the tunnels do change, but I know the how and why. I know where each path leads. There is no secret I can impart that will allow you to see the way ahead in the same manner, therefore it is enough to say that you should stay by my side. Do that, and do the things I say when I say them, and you'll be fine.
That's a whole lot of words just to say shut the fuck up and do what I tell you.
I had thought it nicer to speak respectfully, Udo, but if you prefer the other way, by all means. I invite you to shut the fuck up and do as I say.
Udo snorted. There was a strange moment of acceptance. He knew there were things, certain revelations, that Geffen withheld, but for some reason the other's use of the word fuck put him at ease. It was as if his old friend had peeked at him from behind a mask and winked.
Well, since you put it so nicely, he sighed.
Suddenly the tunnel widened. There was still a wall of rock to the left, but to the right and above there was only darkness. Udo knew his body was enveloped completely by the godskin, and yet he felt an openness in these directions. It was as if they had stepped outside with dead eyes. Even as they walked ahead, Geffen kept his left hand upon the wall and instructed Udo to do the same.
Tell your hand you don't wish it to separate from the rock unless you ask it. I think you know what I mean, don't you?
Yes, Udo nodded.
The jagged surface rasped under his palm. He felt sharp edges and pitted holes beneath his fingertips as if his hand was bare. He moved it blindly along, looking always over his right shoulder toward the darkness. It seemed to close in as if the shadows breathed in his scent and reached for him. Soon he felt as though he was sliding toward them.
What's out there? Udo asked.
Geffen must have known what he meant, even though he hadn't seen Udo's nod. The one-time brawler appeared to lean into the rock wall as though fearful of losing it.
It's something of a drop-off. You needn't fear it swallowing you. You would not die in a fall. You would hardly fall at all. But that pit is large enough to contain both mountain poles of Erda, and more besides, with room to spare. Were you to lose your grip and tumble out there, I suspect you'd be tumbling for quite a while, and I have no means to retrieve you.
Why can't I see it? I could see all of Hell's Cavern when we left the raft.
In the main cavern, there are small sources of true light. The skin enhances and amplifies these little pinpricks for you so that you can see much more than you should. But down here in the tunnels, the only thing your melam has to work with is the heat of our bodies. It is less penetrative.
Where are you leading us?
Back to the evil ditches, where the spirits of the damned reside, and beyond that, to On.
The Watcher won't simply come back?
Udo kept his gaze fixated upon his hand against the wall. Behind him, he felt all of reality yawning like a cold, toothless mouth.
Eventually, yes. It's elsewhere right now, though. Over time, it has learned where some entrances exit, like a cat pawing around the holes of a warren. It has settled near a collection of such exits right now, waiting for us to emerge, but it has made a poor decision. It does not realize the path we took branches off in other directions.
Good news, then. How long will the thing sit there waiting?
That is impossible to know, so let us not waste any time, eh?
They walked on in silence. It didn't bother Udo at first. He'd always been more comfortable in silence. Once, long ago, when he lived among people, he had occasion to sit among them. Not often, but every so often, when good fortune failed, he would have to go mingle with those people, deal with them, move in their circles. Sometimes he had to spend extended periods of time with them, and when there was nothing to say, he was content to say nothing. It always seemed to bother them. Udo had a little game he used to play to amuse himself in these instances. He would count off seconds until those he was near finally cracked and could resist the urge to speak no further. They would break the silence with inanities without fail, so long as they were ignorant of his profession, of course. Otherwise, they would have clawed a hole through the wall to avoid breathing the same air. But if they did not know him, they would erupt with asinine little observances. They might comment on the weather or some new tax or the price of barley at market. If there was cooking nearby, they would inevitably comment on the smell, how hungry it made them. Udo's practice was to maintain his silence doggedly through these sallies, not even looking at the person who'd spoken to acknowledge their existence. It was a secret pleasure of his to hear them clear their throats in discomfort, to sense them shifting in their seat. Soon enough, they understood there was something wrong with him, something had soured within him, and they were better served in leaving him alone. Sometimes they would lean away from him, perhaps unconsciously, and he had to fight the smile from his lips. Now he walked through Hell's own cavern with a true friend, a man he could be comfortably silent with. Here was someone who did not require conversation from Udo to fill the empty spaces. He didn't even ask. As always, he would allow Udo to just be there, and that was enough. If Geffen asked a question, it would be a necessary question, something for which Udo would feel no burden in his response. And if talking was needful, Geffen would do enough for both of them, and he would not lean away from Udo's silence. He would not be made uncomfortable to simply have Udo with him. They walked in a line along the ledge, always holding to the rock wall on the left. Udo kept his right arm tucked into his ribs at first, likely on instinct, but soon realized there was little weight to aggravate the brutalized joint. Allowing it to hang at his side, he forgot about it a while. Forgot about it until he felt the tingling in his shoulder. Udo watched the man ahead of him. The form was familiar, though the gait was not. His spine was unnaturally straight, as if he dangled by a string growing from the crown of his head, and he moved with an inhuman grace. Geffen the brawler had boasted a certain amount of grace, of course. When someone threw for him, they seemed always to miss by the space of a few hairs, or if they connected, it was a glancing blow. A blow hard enough to make him angry, and not much more. And when he threw, his fist always found every bit of the target. Sometimes his fist found what was behind the target as well. Udo had been in enough of his own brawls to know that kind of skill did not come without a dancer's grace, and yet now Geffen moved with a surety he could not ken. He seemed always to know his surroundings intimately, whether he could see them or not. He frequently balanced on the sharp rocky spars of the underworld like goose down alighting along the tip of a spear. He never waved his arms for balance and moved at the same speed over level or buckled ground alike. At one point, Udo watched him step easily upon a flat protrusion and then leap several rutin to a far-off ledge where he turned and waited. It appeared a simple enough feat to Udo, but when he stepped on the very same protrusion, it shifted upon contact and tumbled slowly out into the void, nearly taking him along with it. He found himself dangling from the wall by his left hand, watching the rock spin for a moment through the emptiness before it simply disappeared. Then he turned his body so that he stood upon the wall from which he'd lately dangled and crossed the gap. Geffen watched him come, a slight smile showing through the godskin's transparent face. "I see you're becoming comfortable with the rules of this place."
"Yeah," Udo said.
From his position, it appeared that Geffen stood upon a small ledge at right angles to himself. He looked to his right, in the direction that had formerly been down, into the void, and now saw that it was only a darkened field that stretched away from him out into eternity. He shook his head in dismay and returned his attention to Geffen.
"Not wanting to fall forever has a funny way of motivating a man."
Geffen nodded and resumed the trail. Udo followed him, maintaining his new position upon the wall. He liked the idea that the void was an endless field to his right, rather than a bottomless pit into which he could fall forever. But then soon enough he realized that the only real thing of interest to watch in that place was Geffen, and Geffen seemed to be stuck to the wall in the wrong direction. Udo wondered if he could trip over the man now that he seemed so low to Udo's ground. If he did, would he fall over him and impact the wall, or would he simply float away to some place unknown? He sighed and stepped back down to the ledge upon which Geffen trod. Then he looked down into the pit below them and cursed.
"Yes?" Geffen asked.
"Nothing. Just getting used to the way this place works."
"Oh, yes."
They continued on. It must have been hours before they reached the other side. Udo was just beginning to wonder when he would start feeling hungry when a wall of rock melted into view just ahead. Along their path and set into this wall was another tunnel. Geffen pointed at this and nodded without comment, as if he'd assured Udo only a moment ago that the tunnel was indeed there. His silence began to wear away at Udo. The digger was not used to Geffen going for such long periods without speech. By now he should have shared several dozen of his stories and observances, half of which had been repeated several times before, and Udo to remind him his memory was shit, and you've already told me that one, Geffen. He was not acquainted with a Geffen who would walk for hours without comment, as if the friend who followed him was not there. Udo became annoyed. He cleared his throat and said,
"Go for a few potatoes right about now."
Geffen did not respond.
"I said I could go for a few potatoes right about now."
"Did you say that?"
"I did."
Not a pheasant? Bit of mutton?" He thought about that.
"No, I don't think so. I'm sure either tastes wonderful, but right now a potato steamed in clay by a fire gets it done, I'd bet."
"Huh," Geffen said.
"Odd what people crave." "Well, I think in my case, especially right now, it's more about the setting than the food."
Geffen paused, glanced back at him a moment.
"How do you mean?"
Udo looked at him, searching. He thought back to those times, remembered the heat of the flames at his feet and the warmth of the muzzle on his thigh, a friend to drink wine with and to laugh with over stupid jokes. A giant with the eyes and heart of a child, rapidly eating them into poverty. He looked away from Geffen, resumed walking. He entered the new tunnel without further comment, content to leave the drop-off far behind. Now, as Geffen followed after him, Udo thought on those days, a time that felt a lifetime ago, and gathered himself.
I guess it was just easier then, simpler. I had nothing I wanted and everything I needed, Geffen. If I concentrate, I can still remember how it felt to be Udo in those days. I thought that money was the answer to all my problems. Money, or maybe just the power it could purchase. I think all men must think in this way, those of us who never had it. Few enough of us ever got the chance to really see what it was like to get a little. And later on, I got my hands on more than most. And all I really found was that small problems grow up to be huge problems where money gets involved. When we were traveling in the wagon, putting on our little strength expositions, I was lousy with money. Had so much I couldn't have spent it all in one place if I'd tried. And do you know what I thought about most in those days? When the marks were tumbling into the strong box so fast I had to buy more strong boxes? It was money, Geffen. All I thought about was more money. I started to feel like I depended on the stuff, more than I ever had before. It went beyond a drink and a whiff of strange. Far beyond. I grew very comfortable and very soft, and began to fear that the money would go away one day and that I'd be forced to do without again. And all I could think about was how to keep the stuff coming in and how to get more of it. And if we made less of it in some town or city, did it mean the lay was played out, and I had to dream a new one? I had more money to my name than anyone of my station should have been able to attain. I could have bought and sold my old village up north several times over. I bet I could have bought the Blossom and Plotstilf if I'd wanted. And all I could think about was the marks in the strong box, and where all the keys were, and what we should do if anyone on the road was crazy enough to rob a giant and his keeper. When there was no drink, which was rare, I lay awake at night, sleepless until dawn, thinking about those marks, and what I would do if they went away.
It sounds suffocating, Geffen muttered.
Yes. And then later, when they made me a fucking count, I was rich beyond the dreams of the most prosperous merchant, though I never saw a single bit. They shipped us off to war right after they pinned the badge upon my shoulder, you remember. And in Walhaz we spent too much time fighting to think of much else. But do you know, despite all that, there were times in Walhaz when I was happy. And those times of happiness in hostile country far outweighed those I'd experienced in Theodiscus when we traveled by wagon and pulled marks in by the fistful. Sometimes I was very happy there, when the enemy wasn't trying to kill me.
I see what you mean, Geffen said.
Do you? Well, thank the Nine. I'm pretty sure I don't have a fucking clue myself.
Geffen laughed.
You're dreaming of a life less complicated, Udo. There is nothing uncommon about that. People of means or prominence often find themselves wrestling with such concerns. They spend every scrap of energy throughout their entire existence scrambling to attain something. Money, power, land, influence. Whatever that thing is, it becomes a talisman. It becomes the magic thing for which they strive, the thing that brings them their happily ever after once attained. Then they get it, life continues on, and they wonder why things haven't gotten any better. Only they have the thing for which they've been fighting so long, and now that they have it, they don't know what else to do. They don't know how to do anything else. Their purpose, once sharp and strong, burning, it cools to a lump of cracked, dead iron.
That sounds close enough, Udo sighed.
And so it makes complete sense that you should think back to those times, that you should miss them. The thought of three friends sharing a fire and a wineskin must be quite intoxicating.
Four.
I beg your pardon?
Udo stopped and looked back at him.
Four friends, Geffen.
Of course.
He was as good to me as any man I'd ever met.
Yes,
Geffen nodded. He resumed walking. Udo stared at the man's retreating back.
Better, in fact, he said.
Yes,
Geffen repeated. Udo followed him.